The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Willing to sit down and listen to the Word of God, and I'm glad that those that have tuned into the broadcast, God bless you this morning. Let's welcome those watching all around the land, those that may be listening on the broadcast through the FM channel. We're broadcasting all over the place. So we're doing more than what you just see. Amen. From Facebook Live to the FM channel, the Word of God is going forth today that those that may hear would have an ear to hear, have a heart and minds and ears that would be open to it. And I was starting to talk about how the Word of God sometimes will challenge us, and how do you receive it? And what you know, when you know something and your eyes have been opened, does it change you somehow? Because for me, I'm like that guy that said, I was blind, but now I see. Amen? Most of the time that I'm ministering, I'm way too transparent because I'm ministering and teaching from things I've learned that affected me, that had my eyes open where the Lord humbled me, kind of like I was talking about that putt-putt thing, where the Lord would humble me and go, I guess I wasn't everything in a bag of chips. I wasn't everything in a bucket of chicken. I had more to learn in this Bible. You know, for you and I, there's so much in here, it takes a while to learn it all. But when you read something new, what does it do to your heart? And does it challenge you? And when I heard the word yesterday, it challenged me because I'm like, if I know the truth, if I've been given a nugget, do I not have a responsibility to tell others what I've learned and to show and to be an example, even though it may cause them as much humbling as it did me? I'm reminded of Ezekiel 33 where he says to go, you're a watchman, to go warn those. And if I don't do what I'm called to do, if I don't warn those when I see things, then their blood is on my hands. If I know a truth that someone's living contrary to the Word of God, but I'm afraid to say it because I don't want to hurt their feelings, I don't want some people to leave the church, I want to be those people that tickle the ear. No. I don't want to be that person because this is serious and I take it serious. It's a call that for some, they take it so flippantly, but I don't, because we have family members, like we heard yesterday. I have family members that unless they repent, they will not go to heaven. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Everybody goes to heaven. Not according to the Word of God. That will mess up with your doctrine. I got it. It will mess up with your thought process. I got it. It messed with mine because I thought, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I'm good. But the Bible says that even the demons believe in Jesus, even the devil believes in Jesus, and they're not getting to heaven. So we have a problem, don't we? In this world we live in, we see the world spinning out of control. We see the riots, the junk, do we not? Are we not living in perilous times? Amen, church? We're living, you can watch it. I hope you don't watch too much of it because it'll mess you up. I hope you're in your word more than you're on Facebook. I hope you're more in your word than you're on the news channels. Because I had this moment where I thought, I believe in God, I'm good, I can do anything. And that's simply not true. It's simply not true. And I have challenged workers, friends, families, relatives, to the point that they either receive the word of God with gladness in their heart or they're actually contentious. They actually want to fight. There's something in them that's challenged where they cannot handle the very word that's coming forth. And that was me. I pray today that as we get in the word that we understand the truths of God. And one of the things I want to start with, it's not on the big screen, but in my prayer time this morning, I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And when you're there, say amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Amen. It's important for today. It's important in our walk. We've been talking about seeking the Lord lately. Those of you that are new today, I've been on several messages of seeking the Lord and getting back to the Father's house and seeking Him and find out what He has for you and being blessed and being encouraged and renew ourselves. Amen. And if you're there in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, the Bible says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whoever, that's you, that's me. We are in the whoever. Why would He say whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved? Saved from what? Judgment. Eternal hell. There is a heaven and there's a hell. And people don't like to hear this. I didn't like to hear it. I just thought everybody was good. I'm a good person. I do good deeds. I just did a good deed the other day. I saved a bunny rabbit from drowning himself in the lake. That's a good deed. That doesn't get me to heaven. That's a wonderful thing to do. But it isn't on the list that helps me get to heaven. That's just a work. We are in the whoever club. The Bible says that all have fallen short. We've all sinned. Knowingly or unknowingly, we've all fallen short, the Bible says. We've all said things. We've all done things. Now, no one wants to admit that. No one wants their junk displayed for all to see, do we? Right? If we've ever told a lie. If we'd ever looked at a woman or for you ladies, a man with lust in our eyes. The Bible says that we've committed adultery in our heart. If we covet what our neighbor has, oh, I want that truck, I want that house, I want that. If we covet, the Bible talks about that we've fallen short. In other words, we've missed the mark. Are you here? We've all fallen short. We've all done things. We've all put little g's, little gods. We've all dealt with idolatry of putting things before God. I told you before we started Sunday mornings, I would put before tournament fishing before God. I was a tournament fisherman for many years. Sunday was my tournament deal. That was it. I was on it. You know that. Sometimes I was good, sometimes I wasn't so good. But I thought I was everything in a bag of chips. And then one moment, I went to a tournament. There was a Fishers of Men tournament, and the people were telling me about Jesus. I didn't want to hear that. I just wanted to go after these little green fish. It was the Fishers of Men. God bless them men. Because they brought Jesus into the world that I wanted to be in. How many of us bring Jesus into our world? Amen? It's important. You see, they knew something that was important for my eternity. I was living a life not pleasing to God, and yet they brought Jesus to me. And he says, I'll make you fishers of men. And ever since that moment, the Lord had been working on me. And I thought, wow, what a magnificent time when somebody cared enough for me to tell me about Jesus. And when Brother Luke was ministering yesterday, and he made some comments, and it brought me back. It took me back to where, you know, someone helped me get to where I'm at today. Amen? Someone in your life loved you enough to confront your mess. Somebody loved you enough, even though we didn't receive it at first. Somebody loved me enough to share Jesus and the love of God, and that if I would repent and turn, that I could be in eternity with Jesus forever and ever. Amen? You have a great call and a purpose on your life to tell someone else about what you know. You can't give away what you don't have. Amen? But so oftentimes, how many times do we go through life going, well, I just don't want to interrupt them. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to cause a rift in my family. If you love them, we owe it to them to tell them the truth. And Brother Luke was saying, he goes, I got family that at this point are not saved, but I'm believing they're going to be saved. I got family that according to the Word of God are not showing fruit. Amen. You know them by their fruits, the Word of God says. They're not showing fruit in line with the Word of God. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying according to what the Word says. Okay? That if they were died today, they're not leaving any testimony of where they're going. Have you left a testimony of where you're going? Because see, these men had a part in my life, just like Luke had a part in my life yesterday. And he made a comment. He goes, I don't want to be that person. I get to heaven, we're in a judgment, and the person beside me saying, why didn't you tell me? Amen? What if you know people that you walk with and talk with every day, but you're still working out your own salvation, and you're trying to get out of your comfort zone? We talked about this a couple weeks ago when Jesus said to Peter, come get out of the boat. And Peter went out of a perfectly good boat. Is God still working on some of us to get out of our comfort zone to tell someone else about Jesus? You see, it's so important, because what if we take our last breath, or Jesus comes in and the person next to you, your person you're working with, your family member, say, why didn't you tell me that there was a more excellent way? You don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. You know those people that talked to me many, many years ago, the fishermen? They just told me the goodness of Jesus and that he died for my sins. I'm like, well, what sins? What do you mean? I haven't sinned. Truth wasn't in me, was it? The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Amen? So in other words, it's got to be confessed, saying, Lord, forgive me. And here where we start. We started this series with David in Psalm 51. We started with, create in me, O God. If you can go there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen? We've been on this series. So if you haven't seen the series, go back and watch Facebook, and you can see the series of the last. You're like, how in the world do you get 6-7 messages out of this? I don't know. The Lord just gives me stuff. That's how I study. I'll take a verse and I'll study it for weeks. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within. We've been talking about getting renewed and being on fire for God and getting your look back. Amen? Do you have the look that you've been with Jesus? Because when I look at some of you, I'm like, you've been with Jesus. I can tell. There's something about you. There's a glow about you. There's a look about you that says you've been with Jesus. By the words you speak, I can tell that you've been with Jesus. You've been in the Word of God. But there's some that I deal with every day that I go, you say Jesus is Lord. You say that you're a Christian, but the words that you're saying don't line up with this book. You see, you will know them by their fruits. It's not to judge. We're fruit inspectors. Does your speech line up with the Word of God? Amen? Next verse. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now this concerns me. We're moving on in the series. We're going deeper. Amen? So if you didn't get the ones, you'll have to get to them. But we're going a little deeper today. He says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Why would he say such a thing? Is it possible that though the Bible says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, is it possible that we in our transgressions and our ways can walk outside the covering of God? Remember I talked about in Psalm 91, this is all a big series, about walking under the shadow of the Almighty. Is it possible that you and I will drift and allow ourselves to get our eyes off Jesus? Is it possible that we, in turn, could pull away from God, even though he's saying, come to me, run to me, I'll help you, I'll encourage you, but we say, I got my own ways. I got my own thoughts. You see, I had to learn these things because I wanted to do my own thing, and I was never brought up in church. I lived the hard life and learned the hard ways and found myself like this guy saying, forgive me, Lord. Create in me a new heart, a pure heart before you, because I've done some things wrong. And you know what? When you get to that point where you realize that some things are not right between you and God, you'll hit your knees to these altars and you'll go to God and you say, God, forgive me because there's some things not right in my life. Would you help me to get things in my right? And that's what David is doing. He's saying, Lord, forgive me. This is scriptures about repentance and turning and getting back right with God. And David knew he did wrong. He was a man after God's own heart, but he recognized that when he did wrong, he had separated himself from God and his sins were exposed and he had to get back right with God. That's the beauty of David, because he gives an example. It says that merciful, loving God, that when we come to him, when we call upon him, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you've done things wrong, you've drifted, you've lost your spark, you've lost something that you're not as strong as what you used to be, you're not reading your Bible as much, something's just off, call upon him today. Amen. Can I encourage you today, you watching, call upon him and get renewed to be strong once again. Amen. He knew something that was going on. Next verse. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ah. And uphold me by your generous spirit. You know, he felt those moments like any one of us could feel where we've lost some of our joy. How many of you need joy in your life? Amen. Well, joy comes in the morning. When you get in your word every day. And before you get up out of bed, before you put your feet on the, instead of it being, oh, it's Monday, you go, oh, praise God, it's Monday, I got another day. Amen. Before my feet even hit the floor, I'm giving God praise in my life. You see, which way are you? Are you, or are you in the Word and you're getting that renewed spirit? You go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Amen? We're in a season where if we're not recognizing, remember what Sister Ashley said? She says we enter our gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Is this mouth doing more complaining or more praising? You tell on yourself and you don't even realize it. I know, ouch, right? I would tell on myself more and didn't even realize it, because people can see and hear and listen and see if there's a difference in you. And you know what? I want people to recognize that there's a difference in me. I'm not the same old man. I'm a new creation. I've been given a new heart, a new spirit. Did I do some stuff in the past? Yes. Did any of us? Yes. But we've been washed in the blood. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart. Hello? And we've been justified as if we never sinned. Hello? That's what the blood of Jesus can do for you and I. Though we've messed up, his blood cleanses the dirtiest of sins. He cleanses the dirtiest of stuff, no matter what we've looked at, no matter what we've been, no matter we've lied and we've done stuff and we've coveted, I want to have that guy's new Porsche and that. No. Get under the blood. Be thankful for what you got. Amen? Amen? All right, I'll get you going. Restore to me, and look at the next verse. Look what happens, verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. How many of you know that I love John 14:6? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So if you got people trying to tell you that you can go this way to heaven, this way to heaven, Jesus is the way. Amen? That's biblical doctrine. That's just the Bible. That's not my opinion. I know a lot of people on TV and media, they've got their own agendas and own ways to tell you how to get to heaven. But let me just get your eyes back on Jesus and say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. He's the life. Amen? And I'm going to stick by that doctrine. Amen? Because I'm going to teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. We have a purpose. In my own home, I've got a purpose to minister. Right? Many people like to be missionaries, and they go to Guatemala and Mexico and all these different places, and I got it. That's great. But you know what for me? Ministry starts in my house. That's where it starts. If I'm not in the Word of God, how can I be an effective leader of my home? How can I be the dad that I want to be? How can you be the wife you want to be? How can you be the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the aunt, the uncle, the whatever your title is that you have? How can you be that person you need to be unless you've got this truth in your heart? Amen? And I lived my life not with this, but praise God, there was a person that said, let me tell you about Jesus. It started my path. What if that person would have had inhibitions about not wanting to share Jesus? What if that person knew the truth and wouldn't tell the truth? Where would I be today? So I present to you, how about your friends? How about your family members? How about your, you see, it brings it back home going, why would I not want to tell them the truth? You can do it lovingly. You don't have to beat on the table and beat them over the head. But share the love of Jesus with somebody. It changed me. It's still changing me. I'm still on the potter's wheel. Amen? Amen? I will only get on the potter's wheel. I've had my days in the blacksmith shop. Come on, man. How about you ladies? The Lord worked on you so much, you're like, you just want to go into a corner and cry, and you just read your Bible and pray, like, Lord, forgive me. I just need your help. Encourage me. Get me back up. Amen? Stand back up. I don't know about you, but that's sometimes when the Lord humbles you, you see, and gets you thinking about some things. Is it possible that we could walk away from the Lord and we could mess this whole thing up? And I say, yes, it's possible. Do any of you remember the man named Samson? It's in Judges 16 and 20, if you want to go there real quickly. But otherwise, I have it on the screen. Look at Judges 16 and 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before as other times and shake myself free. But look at this next verse. It's the saddest verse in the Bible. It says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Is it possible? Yeah. It's possible. It's possible that I've done my own ways and walked my own ways. It's possible that we separate ourselves from the Father. We separate us from the love of God. And we find ourselves. Look what it says. He did not know that the Lord had departed. Does that scare any of you that there might be family member and friends that they don't even realize? They don't even realize that they're not right with God, that what they're doing, their conscience has been seared like that of an iron, that you tell them stuff and you tell them about the Lord and they're rebellious and they say, no, that's not me. I believe in the Lord. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. You tell them, as the day approaches, do not forsake the assembling of oneself, as some are in the habit of doing, and they get mad at you. And all you want to do is love on them and tell them, listen, it's important to be with the house of the Lord, to be with fellowship and your brothers and sisters. And they say, I don't need any of that. You see, their conscience is so seared, and the Lord had departed to where it wasn't the same anymore. This concerns me. It's why I warn. It's why I have people that are actually mad at me to this day. Because I love them enough to tell them the truth, because you will be known by your fruits. If I put a tomato plant right here in full bloom, you know that it's a tomato plant because of the fruit. Amen? You have a cucumber plant here, you know it's a cucumber plant because of the cucumbers it's provided. If you see someone that doesn't want to praise the Lord. You see someone that doesn't want to come to church. You see someone that doesn't lift up the name of Jesus. You see someone that their speech is defiled with ugliness and covetous and junk. Hello? There's a distinction being made, isn't there? Don't worry, this gets happier. Because you see, those people and ourselves, it goes right back to whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. There is still hope. There is still future. That if we found ourselves outside the will of God, if we found ourselves in that permissive will, going your own way, there's still redemption and restoration available for you and I. I'm living proof of it. What He did for me, He can do for you. I'm one that lived the life of David. David had a problem with sin. He was a man after God's own heart, but he had a problem with sin. But when he sinned, he had to repent and turn and get back right with the Lord. And it's the same message that's been forever. It's the same message then as it is today. The Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That if you would repent and turn, that you can see the kingdom of God, that you can be washed anew. That's the message of Jesus Christ, that He died and paid the price of you and I. Hello? So part of me is to warn those that think they're free and are not free. And the other part of me is to encourage you all that have made that decision for Jesus Christ and be encouraged to know that you're set free. Now that should have got one amen. That was a good place to say amen. Because if you've repented and turned, you can be confident that you know where you're going. Amen? Are you confident if today was your last day, or Jesus came this afternoon and said, your mansion's done, I got your house all done, it's beautiful, and this was your last day, are you confident that you're saved, that you know where you're going? Because if you're not, I don't want you to leave that door. I don't want you to leave this broadcast until you've made a commitment to say, forgive me, Lord. I repent and I turn. I ask for your forgiveness. You know why I'm so good at quoting that? Because I've been there. I've been there. Lord, forgive me. Create in me a steadfast spirit. Amen? Amen? Are you free today? Or are there things in your life keeping you from living the abundant life? Are you free, or do you just think you're free? Oh, that makes some people mad. What do you mean? Are you free? I'm free. You're judging me. Oh, I just don't want you to make the mistakes I made and live in this double life of one foot in the church and one foot out of the church. We watched an amazing, amazing teaching of Affabel and the story with John Bevere, an awesome man of God, that taught us, it was a year or two ago now, those that are deceived and they're living their life. You and I have family and friends that are living a life that they think that everything's all right with them and the Lord. I'm not here to judge. I'm just speaking the Word of God saying, have you repented and turned? The Word of God says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. Do you have a testimony? Amen? Because if you don't, there's a problem. You should have a testimony. And if you have a testimony, be ready to share your testimony to let someone know, yes, I was a sinner, but I repented and I turned. I've been washed in the blood. I've been set free of my past. That if I took my last breath today, you know where I'm going. I'm leaving you a roadmap to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And where I'm going, you can come there too. And let's just plan a date 100 and some years from now around the tree of life, and we'll all meet together, and we'll talk together, and we'll see Jesus. Amen? Wouldn't that, how is that discouraging? Isn't that inviting and want everybody free? Because see, they're worried about it. If you're coming at them or judging them. I'm not here to judge anybody, because I was one of the worst of sinners. It's only by the blood of Jesus am I here today. And you watching, it's only by this book and the Word and Jesus gave his life for me and paid the ultimate price for me. I couldn't pay it. I couldn't do enough works, and neither can you. And there's people that are living their life that they think that everything's okay. Go with me into Hebrews chapter 12. Let's clear down. You see, we were talking last time as I let you get to Hebrews 12. We were talking to Matthew when Jesus called Peter. He says, "Come," and he gets out of the boat. And I talked about a couple weeks ago about how many people call Jesus Lord, but they don't recognize his voice. Why did Peter? I need to get a drink of water. Why did Peter say, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come"? Do we sometimes in our Christian walk doubt the voices? I'm telling you, this has been a battlefield of the mind for a while now, of making sure that I hear his voice. Because the Word of God says that his people know his voice, his sheep know his voice. And I want to acquaint you with that small, still voice, that you're sure when he says something that you know which way to turn, because I've made some Ismaels in my life. I've made some wrong paths thinking that was the Lord, and it really was just my own interpretation of things. Because the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. And I caution you to watch for the Ismaels when you do what you think is right, but in the end really is death, the Bible says. So go with me into Hebrews chapter 12. I hope you're there by now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 in the New King James says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, in chapter 11, it talks about, it's the faith chapter. Great men of God. I'm reminded of Noah and Abraham and mighty men of God. You know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. People, they, back in the day, you know, builds this great big boat, big ship. You imagine the amount of people that he talked to every day and they didn't believe in him? Only him and his family believed in him? I wish I could say that. I have more people outside that don't believe in me also. But you stick to the Word of God. People may reject what you're saying. People may say that you don't know what you're doing. That you're just doing that. You're a holy roller Bible thumper. No. I want to be one that tells people the truth and loves them. Noah built an ark that all they had to do was go through the door. And you and I, we're going to go through that door. His name is Jesus. Amen. He says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Hello? "Every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before you." My question is, you've got great examples around you. Are you paying attention to them? Our history, our pastors, your grandfather, my grandfather, pastors that brought us up in the ministry, it's not like they can see, but we've got a witness of them, and we're encouraged by the faith that they had, that what struggles they went through, they persevered. And like them, we're surrounded by those witnesses, but the Word of God says that we lay aside every weight and sin. Here's the question. What if the Bible saying this, and we don't recognize the weight and the sin in our lives? What if, through my many years, and as I'm still reading the Bible, that there's things, that's why I pray, I don't know if you guys have heard me say this, but I ask the Lord for those that, forgive me for those things that I know and that I don't know. just because I'm sure there's some things in there, Lord, forgive me. What if the very thing that the Lord wants us to lay down is the thing that we hang on to the most? The sin. What if there's sin in our life and we say, well, I didn't sin. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a good person. I do great things. I've never told a lie. I've never looked at a woman in lust. Right? That would be sin that I'm hanging on to, lying. Right? But yet I hang on to that. That weight of unforgiveness and doubt and fear that we hang on to, I often talk about, is like a big bag of bricks. And you know what it does to you and I's life? It does nothing but slow us down. And eventually it will entangle us and snare us like a hunter to a critter that keeps us planted to this world instead of going to our designation where we're supposed to go. What if there's sin in our life that we don't recognize? Have we done like David? Because I'm doing like David. That's why I'm on this series. I'm just checking. I want to make sure. I don't want there to be any doubt, and I don't want you to have any doubt. But this self-righteousness that goes on saying, I believe in Jesus, I'm all good, and I can continue to sin and do whatever I want to do, is as filthy as rags, says the Word of God. That self-righteousness, you know, that I've not done anything wrong, I'm a good person. No. See, that's hanging on to that weight, that snare. And the Lord wants to take that and separate us from that. It ensnares us. But the Word of God says, let's get rid of it. How about today? None of us want all of our stuff exposed. If everything's right between you and the Lord, praise the Lord with me. But if there's things in your life that you think are just a little off, you know, like when you wake up in the morning, you're just like, you know, I just don't feel that good today. You know, you just know in your spirit that, you know what, I'm slipping a little bit. I'm a little outside the will of God a little bit. I need to get in my Bible more. I need to read, you know, those things that the Lord, the Bible says, cast all your cares onto the Lord, for he cares for you. Amen? Why? Because he wants you to run a race so you can go tell someone else about him, so that you can teach sinners in the way, like we read in Psalms 51. I can't give away freedom and the blood of Jesus when I've not received it myself. How can I give away what I don't have? There must be a change in my heart. There must be a new spirit. There must be a new heart, where the Bible says go from a stony heart to a heart of flesh, that when people have a need, there's a compassion in your life, that you feel something for people, that you have a desire to pray for people, that something touches you. I don't know how many years I lived my life, said, well, okay, go to the doctor, they'll be all right. No, you now labor and you pray and you intercede for others that are sick, like with Pastor. We pray for him. I urge you this afternoon to be praying for our pastor and the people that are sick. Amen? Because the Bible says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Isn't that awesome? You have a plan that God wants to do for you and with you, just like those people did for me years ago. They don't even know. I bet you they don't even know I'm preaching today. I need to try to find them and just say thank you. But you know, there's going to be a date when we're in heaven. It's like, hey, I know that guy. Because the Bible says you'll be known as you're known. He was fishing a tournament. And he won the tournament. And I talked to him about Jesus that day. I said, yes, you did, sir. Thank you so much that you love me enough to tell me that there was a more excellent way. Now go with me. There's many that are hanging on to doubt and fear and unforgiveness and pride and covetousness, the love of money, adultery, lying, that they're hanging on to every day. And they won't give it to the Lord. I'm all right. I don't want you to be deceived. It's time to give it to the Lord and allow God to heal that and mend that. Amen? I want to tell you the truth. Because if I wouldn't have repented, I would have hung on to those things. I would have been ensnared. And I don't want someone to be snared and say, why didn't you tell me? You knew this truth. Why didn't you tell me the truth? Oh, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Well, how much is it going to hurt if God says, depart from me, I never knew you? Matthew chapter 7. Because many people say, Lord, Lord, I did this. I came to church. I played. I did this. And he goes, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want that. If you go and read Ezekiel 33, you'll understand where I'm at today. I want someone to be free. So go with me to the next verse. Looking on to Jesus, that's what we've been talking about, is getting our eyes above our problems, getting our eyes off the things that the wind is blowing that Peter saw, and get our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Oh, you know, he could have said no at any time he wanted to and had thousands of angels at his disposal just like that. But yet he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he do it? For you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen? He did it for you. Next verse. Go with me into 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Uh-oh. Wait a minute. The message just turned. If I know a truth that keeps you from inheriting the kingdom of God and people on this planet as you see it in 2020 that are just going crazy, I now have to bring truth into their world. They don't want to hear the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. But listen, I owe it to those that would hear the truth that they may be set free. And people don't like to hear it. And it's like, well, I just wanted a happy message. It is a happy message. I'm going to show you what can happen when we give our life to Jesus Christ. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I.e., not everybody's going to heaven. I just proved it by the word of God. It's not my opinion. It's the word of God. Amen? And people are like, oh, pastor, boy, you're on this one today. It's too important. If I don't warn people, I got to tell them the truth so they may be free. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Do you not know? It says, do not be deceived. The Bible's clear. Neither fornicators. Hello? What's fornicators? Sexual relations before marriage. That's sin. Oh, ouch. Don't tell me that. I don't want to tell my family. Sorry, I'm the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. Idolaters. In other words, anything you put ahead of God, above God in your life. That was me. Fishing was a type of God to me that I put going for little green fish more important than serving God. Adulterers. Oh, I've never cheated on my wife, done anything. The Bible says, I talked about earlier, that if a man or woman would lust after another one, they've committed adultery already in their heart. Ouch! Are you kidding me? I was 20 once. True story. I know I'm a little older now. I was a sinner. Simple as that. Nor homosexuals. Perverting. Hello? People don't like to hear this. They'll be sending me emails on this. It's the truth. Nor sodomites. Perverted sexual relations. Hello? True, right? Do not be deceived. Goes through these lists. Next verse. Nor thieves. Hello? Have you watched TV recently? You see some looting going on? It's not protesting, that's looting. That's thieving. They're stealing. Are they going to heaven? If you gave your heart to Jesus early and you've backslid to this situation, that's theft. That's sin. Nor covetous. We talked about that just a minute ago. About your eyes on someone else's stuff. Maybe someone else's wife. Maybe someone else's man. I saw stuff on Facebook the other day I had to just shut off and delete because these women were sharing these pictures of these young men with their bodies all tan and they were all buffed and looking good and they were all spinning back and forth lusting after these men when they've got a man of their own. I'm like, what are you doing? And then men who have beautiful wives, they're sending these pictures. Look at this hot girl. What are you doing? You're supposed to be a Christian. Right? What kind of fruit are they showing? See, there's a heart condition, just like David had. There's a heart condition, and they don't realize there's a heart condition. And if they don't get their stony heart cleared and this heart of flesh and allow God to renew their spirit, they're not going to see the kingdom of God. But if I don't warn somebody and tell the truth, then that's on me, and I can't live with that. Because I want someone to get free. I want everyone to go to heaven. Amen? Even if it hurts a little bit. Nor drunkards. Ouch. Yes, that was me years ago. I confessed before all of you and before God. Loved it. And the Lord delivered me from it. I'm not telling you this to boast like I'm somebody. I was in sin, you see. And we know people every day. I'm a Christian. You need to be set free. Oh, you're judging me. No, by the word of God, you're hindered. There's hindrances in your life, and you're ensnared to the sin in your life, and Jesus has come to set you free of that mess. Amen. Praise God, he set me free from that stuff. Amen. I can now be the dad I need to be. See, it does get happier. It points out the sin, but there's one who saved me and set me free. It's part of my testimony. It's part of your testimony that if Jesus can do it for me, he can do it for those watching. That if you're addicted to pornography, if you're addicted to lust, if you're addicted to alcohol, you're addicted to drugs, there's freedom available to each one of us and our friends and our family, but you can't be afraid to tell them that. You see them, you got to tell them there's a more excellent way. It's up to them to receive. But if you don't tell them, hello, you know the truth. You got to share the truth. Nor revilers. In other words, those talking nasty. You know those keyboard warriors that you see on Facebook? Talking nasty, just junk and harsh words and cussing and swearing. That's them. Extortioners, those are trying to cheat people and whistle their way. Says none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Hello? That means that there are people that we know living in those relationships, in those situations, that if I can't reach them, I'm needing you to today. I need you to tell them the truth, to say, listen, you're called for a purpose and a plan, but this sin is a snare in your life. This sin is weighing you down, and there's freedom available for you and I. That's the good news of the gospel. And I'm getting ready to close with this. Are you getting anything yet? Anything, the lying, the cheating, all that, I got it. Whatever you want to call it. But there's freedom available because Jesus' blood can wash the dirtiest of sins. Amen? Go with me to the next verse. Uh-oh. And such were some of you. I know, ouch, right? Where God just humbles you and saying, you're going to have to tell these people about your story, about how I saved you from being a drunkard. You're going to have to tell some people how you dealt with this and dealt with that, but I saved you and broke the chains of the snares, that you may be set free. That's what my Jesus did for me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus can do for you. That's what Jesus can do for your family. He says, but you were washed, oh, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus. You were, I feel that right there. Whew. You were washed, cleansed. You were sanctified. In other words, you were set apart from that stuff. So those that want to keep going back into it, turn. Turn. Part of being born again is that you're washed and you're set apart. You go 180, not 360. You can't claim salvation and go right back into that stuff. Hello? It's called coming out. You may need to find an accountability partner. Call me. I'm dealing with this, Pastor. I'm dealing with this, Pastor. Help me be my accountability partner because I'm struggling to stay separate from this stuff. It's an addiction and a chain. Do you know anybody who's addicted to pornography? It's a chain in their life that the lust of the eye owns them. The lust of drinking, the addiction of drinking and drugs. Do you know anybody like this? It's a snare to them. They need help. Don't look down on them. Give them a hand up. Don't look past them anymore. You're not the Levite. You're not the priest. You're the Samaritans. Hello? Don't look past them anymore. So listen, I know a more excellent way. Let me help you up out of this. That's the good news of the gospel that I want to preach today. That if he did it for me, he can do it for you, and he can do it for the others. But you can't walk past him anymore. We're building this series. You're called. When you see those people, you know that they're in trouble right now. They're in the ditch, and it's time that we take this book and take this word and say, listen, Jesus can free you of that stuff. We break the chains of sin by the blood of Jesus. It says, you're justified in the name, you're sanctified, in other words, you're set apart, but you were justified, in other words, you can be set free of all that stuff I just read. Every person that you may know that's dealing with all that junk, they can be justified as if they never sinned. That's what justified means. So you're washed, you're set apart, and now you're made new as if you never sinned. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Have you received Jesus today? Is there something you're dealing with today? Because today's your day to be free. You watching by the broadcast, today's your day to be free. You've been asking for help. You've been needing someone to tell you the truth. There's a way out, and his name is Jesus, that you can be set free. You can be washed anew, and you can live that life of purpose, running that race that Jesus had for all of us. Amen? It's all about Jesus here. It's not about me. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus that we may spend eternity with him. Amen? God bless you. If this message has touched you and you need help, this church is willing to help you. Give us a call. Text us, message. Say, listen, I need help in this manner. We'll pray. We'll come together. Amen? You got family members that you don't know how to talk to? Sign me up. Those tough cases, you're like, I don't know how to deal with this one. Bring it. The blood of Jesus and the word of God will be on our lips that we may encourage and help people get set free. Why? Because we want to see everybody in heaven. Amen. We know too much now. You know too much. And now it's time. Will we walk past those people like the priest and Levite, or will you be the Samaritan and go get them? I encourage you, I challenge you, I empower you today by the Holy Spirit that you are empowered in the Word of God to set the captives free. The anointing is on you, in your families, in your homes, to set the captives free. Those that you know are living that lifestyle not pleasing to God, there's a more excellent way. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you this coming week on Wednesday. Be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, You can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.